Yud Gimel Kislev, Friday the 9th of December, Rabbi Yehoshua Posen, the importance of not always sticking to one's rights.
Morning. See, the owner's walking out already. Let's have to ask Michila, for those of you who were actually at the Hespedim this week for Loss and Sweep, because I prepared this show already, and a couple of points which might be a little bit of chazor from then, but the majority of you possibly weren't there, and therefore it's kedai to go through the medrash properly. In this week's parasha, near the end of the parasha, we have the ketzira of Rachel Imenu, and the pasuk says, "Vatomos Rachel, vatikove vaderech efroso hi beis lechem." The Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu buried Rachel Imenu on the way out by beis lechem. So the medrash says as follows: "Psik Rabosi." The Medrash tells us that Yosef was very distressed when he realized that Yaakov wanted to bury Rachel by Beis Lechem, and he was distressed because he wanted his mother to be buried in Maros Machpelah together with the rest of the others. There's one pshat in the Mephoreshim that you couldn't have two sisters buried in Eretz Yisrael, even buried next to Yaakov and Eretz Yisrael would have been a bizarre, but that's not the pshat that this Medrash says. Omar Yaakov, Einat Yochel Bini, you can't persuade me to move Rachel to make sure to I bury her in Eretz Yisrael by the Maros Machpelah. Shelo yikvartia shom baderech efroso ela pi adzibul. Because the reason why I'm burying her here by Beis Lechem is because of instructions I've received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'ach ani bekashi la'alos l'kovo. I also wanted to bring her to Eretz Yisrael, to bury her in Maros Machpelah. Remember that Rachel was Yaakov's favorite wife. He wanted her buried there next to him in Maros Machpelah. V'lomo. A famous medrash that it was known at the time that eventually when Klal Yisrael would go out to Golis and the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed, it's slightly different nusach in this medrash and medrash in Eicharabo. Here the medrash says that they would go. Medrash Rabbah specifically Yirmiyahu went and they'd ask Achim from the Ovos that the Ovos should daven on their behalf. And it wouldn't be sufficient. But once they'd be on the way in Golus, they'd come past Kever Rachel. She would stand up and ask Rachmanis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what would be her claim? Shema b'koy b'chiyosi v'rachim abonai. Either pay me what's coming to me, my reward, or now have Rachmanis on Kali's soul. For what? For the fact that here the Medrash doesn't say it, Medrash Rabbah, we'll come to in a minute, it's this that she listed the schus that she had for the fact that she gave over the simonim in last week's parsha to Leah. Miyat HaKadosh Baruch Hu shamea kohil tefilosa, immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to Tfilah, Shinema, the famous pasuk, Kobra Manishwan, Nihibichi Samurim, Rachel Mavaki Abonel. Uchsiv, yesh tikwa lachvisich in Mashem, Beshov Abonim Nikvuna. So, the Medrash in Abdomah to Eicha, the Medrash Rabbah there goes into more detail. An amazing Medrash. The Medrash tells us how the Ovis, how Yirmiyahu went to the Maros Machpelah and he was Ma'ir the Ovis. He said, you have to go and down for Klal Yisrael. They're going to Golus and we don't see any future beyond Golus. And Avraham Avinu got up, whatever that means, and he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I didn't have any children for 100 years. Of course, he had Yishmael, but he didn't have Yitzchak. He waited 100 years for Yitzchak. And then when I had Yitzchak, 37 years later, you told me, Kachas Pinchas Hashahu, take Yitzchak and offer him up on Akedah. And I didn't just go and offer him up on Akedah, I went Bezrizus, I went eager to do the mitzvah of Shporuch Hu. And bear in mind at that time what that meant for Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the person who'd been preaching to the whole world why it was so wrong to offer up one's children to Avodah Zarah. And now the same Avraham Avinu is going to appear as a hypocrite. The whole, it would be the equivalent of, you know, uncovering that people have been preaching whatever it is, and then all of a sudden, you know, the whole, imagine the press, the whole thing's a sham, you see, the whole thing's hypocrisy. He's going to take Yitzchak, and he's going to offer him up on Akedah. And not only would he be losing his son, but he'd be losing the whole Ruchnius, the whole Klal Yisrael, which is meant to come from there, would all be finished, would all disappear. And nevertheless, with Mesiras Nefesh, I was prepared to do it. You have to take that into account, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Bishchar Zeus, Yishtar Rachmanis, and Klal Yisrael, but it wasn't good enough. Along came Yitzchak, and Yitzchak was our Tzvima, and Yitzchak came along, and he said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I went with my father, B'yachad, when he told us that he told me that there's no aisle, I'm going to the Korban, I didn't have any problem with that. I went, the Medrash says, Now when Yitzhak was on the Akedah, he asked them to tie it tight so he wouldn't be able to flinch and passel the korban by making the mum. Mamish pure Mesiras Nefesh. Maisa, sometimes people look at the Maisa Akedah and they think it was a Gewaldiger Maisa. But, you know, we've had many, many Maisas in our history of Mesiras Nefesh. You look through just the stories of the war, the Mesiras Nefesh, people who were Mesiras Nafshon, people who went dancing into the gas chambers. So Avraham Avinu was another one of them. What it was such an unbelievable godless. Every Rosh Hashanah we draw on that Maisa. We don't mention any other Maisas. So Rav Chaim Volozhin says that when we say in Pirkei Avos, our son is also Avraham Avinu. Why is it called Avraham Avinu? Because on the day his Mesiras Nefesh that he put into our genes the Yecholus to be Mesiras Nefesh. That's how decades later you have people who didn't really know much about Yiddishkeit and prepared to be Mesiras Nefesh, Makidosh Hashem, because in their genes they had this ability. We have this ability of Mesiras Nefesh. But it all started from somewhere. It all started from the Maisa of Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu is now trying to cash in these chips, so to speak, and saying, look at the source now. Yitzhak Avinu, it wasn't good enough. Yaakov Avinu got up. Yaakov Avinu spoke about the sorrows he had, Mamish, his whole life, whether it was with Esau, whether it was with Lavan, whether it was with Yosef. Mamish, a life full of sorrows. He said, I could show up for Rachmanus. And it wasn't good enough. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says that Yumya didn't know how to get to Moshe Rabbeinu because you don't know where his kever is, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him instructions where to go, and he went, and he was saying, Moshe Rabbeinu went and cried out for 40 years. 40 years I was the shepherd of Klal Yisrael. I waited on them, Yomim V'Laila, everything they needed, I did. I was Mamish and Gansim Avatim, my life, my family, like everything, Leman HaTzibur for Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you put me in that position, let me now act as their mouth to speak on their behalf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have Rachmanus. And it wasn't good enough. So the Medrash, Yad Kofsa Rochel. Now all of a sudden Rochel jumps up, and Rochel says, Kach Rochel, you have to bear in mind what happened with me, in Lashon Medrash. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Goloi Lefanecha, Sheyakev Avducha, Va'aveini Ava Yisira. Kach Rochel, you know, he loved me more. He worked for Lavan, my father, for 7 years. When all of a sudden now my father Lavan came up with this brilliant idea to switch me with Leah. It was very difficult for me. I knew a way out. I told Yaakov. He said, we're brilliant. So now we have this advance warning. Here's a simon. This is what you should say at the time. I controlled my taiva, if you can call it that. She shouldn't be thrown out. Imagine the bishus, the bezionis, the levels of God if she doesn't have those simonim at the time. The kasha is
Azay.
What was it that Rachel Imenu had that the others didn't have? Right, this is a kasha which Rabbi Aryam asked at the Svezim. This is a kasha that all Mepharshim asked. The kasha, what was it that Rachel had? Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, let us not underestimate this chusim we're talking about, because we mention them every single day. We never mention Rachel in our tefillahs. Every single day we get up and say, like, Avram, like, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, don't say, like, Rachel. Right, so we obviously are makir the unbelievable system which all of us have. Rosh Hashanah, we come into shul and we're trying to ma'ir rachim for ourselves. What do we read? We read our keter. We don't read the Maisa Simonim. We read our keter. So let's not for a moment get caught up in all the nice pshotim in how gewaldig it was, this Maisa Simonim, and think that means that the schus of us wasn't so gewaldig. So okay, but Rachel, it's not. If that's the case, then why aren't we consistent throughout the year? If that's all we believe. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu. So, another tzuritzim to this kasha. One tzuritzim is the Oscar tzuritzim says that Rachel Menu had a card to play which no one else had. What was the cause of the goddess? The cause of the goddess originated from the original Golos. The first Golos Mitzrayim states that Golos Mitzrayim is where all the Golos originated from Golos Mitzrayim. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't keep us in there for the time period that we were meant to be kept in there meant there was always, so to speak, an amount of Golos that was outstanding that we had to pay for over the years. What was the cause of the first Golos? Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef. The Felech Averot to such an extent, the Chazal tell us, that sorry, who Gemalchus was the result, was the onus for Mechiras Yosef. What was the cause of Mechiras Yosef? The cause of Mechiras Yosef was Kinna. Was the brothers were jealous of Yosef and how he was acting and how he was interacting with Yaakov Avinu, how he was getting special treatment with Yaakov Avinu. So Chazal explained why that was, but actually the cause of the Kinna, the cause of the goddess was the fact that the Shvatim were jealous of Yosef. Why were they jealous of Yosef? Why were they jealous of Yosef? They were jealous of Yosef because they didn't think it was right. Why should Yosef get special treatment more than anyone else? He's not the Bechor. Yeah, Reuven's the Bechor. You know, you want to give special treatment to a son, you give it to the Bechor, that's understandable. In those days, the Bechor was mamish, everything, the heir to the throne. It's like in the royal family, you know. Who's the heir to the throne? Him. Who, the other brothers, one even knows their names. He's the heir to the throne. Reuven was the Bechor. Rachel Emenu Ga'ah. And Rachel Emenu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kofsa Rachel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 1 second. Why is all this happening in Klal Yisrael? Why are they going through so many sorrows? Because of Golus. Because of what? If you trace it all the way back, it originates with one thing. The thing is that the Shvatim were jealous of Yosef, and therefore they did what they did. Said Rachel Emenu, I'm not justifying what they did. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, think what would have happened if I wouldn't have had Rachmanos on my sister. If I wouldn't have had Rachmanos on my sister, I would have married Yaakov first. And if I would have married Yaakov first, it's very probable that Yosef would have been the Bechor. So had Yosef been the Bechor, there would have been no jealousy. Everyone would have understood why Yosef gets special treatment. Yeah, he's the Bechor. So what transpires is that the whole reason why the Mekor, we're not justifying, but practically speaking, the Mekor of why Klal Yisrael are in such a mess is because of my Maisa Chesed. Is it fair to punish them because of my Maisa Chesed? So that was a taina which no one else could play. In other words, not pshat, that Rachel and Menu had a schus that was bigger than the others. But pshat is that Rachel had a card to play which none of the other others had. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Abba Zohi writes, not pshat that they haven't done wrong, not pshat I'm not going to punish them, but I will bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. The Golus will have an end. That's the first mahalach. The second mahalach, Rav Arya said at their speech with Arya Finkel, is that the time that the straw that broke the camel's back, as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned, the final straw which Klal Yisrael were over was when Menashe brought an Avodah Zarah into the Heichal. Now, Menashe, the king of Yisrael, brought an Avodah Zarah and put it in the Heichal. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at that point, outcome. You know, you can't control your time, it's over the Avodah Zarah, it's Einzach. But when you have to bring your Avodah Zarah and put it in the Heichal, and so to speak, stick your tongue out, that is a line that cannot be crossed. There are no excuses for that. You cross that line, it's all over. Avram comes along with his tzvusim, it's not good enough. Yitzchak comes with his tzvusim, it's not good enough. Yaakov, it's not good enough. How can you justify such an act, such a blasphemous act of bringing Avodah Zarah, putting it in the Heichal? A Yid, the king of Klal Yisrael, king of Eretz Yisrael, putting an Avodah Zarah into the Heichal. So Rachel turns around, and Rachel said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what I did. Look what I did. I was meant to be the wife of Yaakov. And I brought my sister into my house. In my own house, I put Leah into my house. I put Leah into my room instead of me. I left and left Leah there as the wife of Klal Yisrael, as the mother of Klal Yisrael. I gave it all up for Leah. Into my own house. Look what I was prepared to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you too, therefore, have to use that and have Rachmanos on Klal Yisrael. I'm not saying the third shot is different than this, but I think the third shot sheds an angle and a limit which we can learn, which this doesn't mamish bring out. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Dav Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, it's more important in a number of places in Shas, Omar Rovo, Kol Amav Al Medoysov, Mavuyim Le'al Kol Pshov. Whoever is Mav Al Medoysov, whoever does not stand up for their rights, and we'll see Rashi in a minute what that means, so that brings a mechila for him. Shenema neisa avoin over al pesha. Lemi neisa avol. It's a shaila in how to learn the gears in the Gemara. Lemi neisa avol. Lemi is over al pesha. Who will receive a mechila? The person who's over al pesha. The person who has something terrible happens to them, and they're prepared to look the other way. They're prepared to keep quiet. Zog Rashi. Amava medaysav she'ena medaptik limdoid midol lemitzari meisu. He's not metaptic to exact revenge, so to speak, on those who cause him pain. And he just keeps quiet and he goes on his way. Rashi carries on. Rashi says, Ein midas hadin medakdekes achrein elo menachoson vohileches. Midas hadin is not medaktik. Now what's pshat in this? What's pshat in the gadlus of ma'avam doisa? Why is ma'avam doisa such an important thing? What was it that Rachel had that the others didn't have? As we asked at the beginning, we don't mention schus Rachel, so what, it doesn't seem to be that her schus was more than the rest of the others. So why is it that Rachel listened to her and he didn't listen to the others? Teretz is azu. When the others came along, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting on Kisei Adin, and he had the scales in front of him. And Klal Yisrael had such gefelech averus from Menashe to everything else, and the scales were right down. And now on the Schusim side, Klal Yisrael Shach came along Avram, and he put all his massive peck of Schusim, and he moved it a bit. Yitzhak, he moved it a bit. Yaakov, Moshe, he moved it a bit, but it wasn't enough. We didn't have enough Schusim to tip the balance. And you know what? Had Rachel come along mitzad din and said, put my schusim on the scale as well, it also wouldn't have been enough. Rachel's schusim weren't more than the others. What did Rachel Imenu say? Rachel Imenu came along and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, loves up with the scales. Forget the scales. The scales is when you're working up, you did. Look what I did. And that's pshat in the words of the Medrash. What's she telling in the Medrash? She's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov Avinu loved me. He worked me for 7 years. I was 100% entitled to turn around and say, I'm not giving this to him. I'm not giving this to him. You should know, had she come and asked the Shaila, I don't know what anyone would have told her. Had she come and asked the Shaila and said, am I meant to give up this to him? B'chalal lo poshut that she's meant to. I mean, for a second, what's with Yaakov? Yaakov Avinu has worked for 7 years to marry Rachel. There's a deal. There's an agreement in place here. You're going along and you're mekatos. Had she come and actually asked the Shaila, I don't know what would have happened. Well, I'm happy I wasn't asked the Shaila. But upon him, Rachel Imenu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, I was 100% within my rights to turn around and say, I'm very sorry. Michtis, I didn't look at my rights. I looked at the fact that Leah was about to suffer bizyonos on a massive public scale, and I turned around and I had rachmanos. And I gave him my simon, my HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I didn't stand up for my rights, then you also can't stand up for your rights. With stars, you also don't look up for your rights. And that's Pshat in the Gemara. Why is Mavar Medosa such a phenomenal thing that you find things written about it you don't find by other mitzvahs? It's not just another thing. It's off the scale. Mavar Medosa means we poshut don't look at the cheshvan. What's Pshat the poshut says that then all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachim olav? Because then all of a sudden you're not kind of din. My rights and my rights. Let me tell you the Gemara in Tanis, which Mamish brings us out. Gemara in Tanis, the Chofei Yom Beis, says as well. Ma'aseh Rebbe Lezer sheyar defnei ateva. Right, so we know the Gemara in Tanis is full of stories of Eretz Yisrael at the times when they had the drought and they didn't have rain. Nowadays, when we have a drought, it's bad. In those days, it was far worse. The entire business, everything was agriculture. The moment that there's no rain, there's no food, there's no money, there's no anything. The entire country shuts down. There are many different stories in Tanis where we find situations where Klal Yisrael didn't have rain, and so to speak, we had this kibbutzal rain dance that the Gedolim had to try and do at the time to come up with tefillahs and tamnesim and bakoshas and everything that they had to try and do to try and invoke rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one of the stories is as follows: Ma'aseh Rebbe Elazar sheyar lifnei ateva va'omar esrim v'arba brachos v'leinen. Very famous Gemara. Rebbe Elazar came along and he said 24 different brachos and he wasn't answered. Didn't know. Yard Rabbi Kiva Achrov, as far as I know, this is the first time we ever find in Chazal Avinu Malkeinu. Yard Rabbi Kiva Achrov, Oma Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech Ela Oto Avinu Malkeinu Leman Charachim Aleinu. Two things, very simple. Go up there and know Hallelujah, 24 brachos to Avinu Malkeinu. Have rachmanos. So the Rav Yardu Kshamim. Brilliant thunder, lightning starts raining. So what happens? Well, you can imagine what happens. Right? Everyone starts tumbling. Beleza, you know. Rabbi Akiva, the papers, big front page of Rabbi Akiva, and some in the back. Rabbi Elazar tried unsuccessfully. And, you know, imagine how it works. So that's what happens. I'm running you, Rabbonon. Rabbonon says, never mind, I'm Ratzim. I'm running you, Rabbonon. Rabbonon was turning a shtickle. You see, Rabbi Akiva is not a bigger goddle. Adka deikach, now this we're not always zeichet to. Yotus abaskel, the omra leimit ne shezeh goddle mizeh, ela shezeh mave al medoisov. The Gemara turns around and says that what happened? There was a baskel. There was such a tool which was creating such a bazaar for Elazar that a baskel came out and said, Abaisai, don't think that the reason why the rain came is because Rabbi Akiva was as aggressive as mentioned Rabbi Elazar. No! They're the same. But Rabbi Akiva is Mavam Adosa, and Rabbi Eliezer isn't. What's Pshat and Gemara? Makes no sense. Imagine I tell you, you know what? Don't think that he's more choshev than him, just he doesn't speak Lashon Hara and he does. So he's more choshev than him. Why? Because he doesn't speak Lashon Hara. What's going on in the world? There's a basko. It's not, you know, sometimes people speak. And see, a basko comes out and says, he is not more choshev than him. All he does is he's Mavam Adosa. So what's Mavam Adosa if it's not more choshev? So Rishos Salanta explains as a Rishos Salanta says there's two approaches a person can take to life, and neither of them are wrong. A person can be a medaktik. Rabbi Eliezer was a Talmud of Beishamai, the famous Beishamai who, when a person came in front of him and said, "Can you teach me Kol HaTorah Kula Echos on one leg?" He told him, "I'm sorry, it doesn't go like that." They were medaktik, they were makbid, they were careful that there's a mahalach and there's a right and there's a wrong, and you stick to the guns, and that's how it is. And you know where you stand. There's a different approach. An approach of turning the other cheek. They're looking the other way. It's not the basko. Neither approach are wrong. If you're Mavi Amidoso and he isn't, well, let's get a perspective here. When we say a person's not Mavi Amidoso, we don't mean he's being a Rosha. We don't mean he's making a fuss over something he doesn't have a right to make. We're saying he stands up for his own rights. A person doesn't other to him, and he stands up to it. How you talking? And he's right. No one's saying he's wrong. I'm talking about a person who someone does something wrong to him, and he puts them in their place. Nothing wrong with that. You're not even any halacha. Not so much if you do it in a way that's lashon hara, mavayish barabim, but so much where you stick to your guns and you rectify what's wrong. There's nothing wrong with that as of the baskel. But you have to realize there's a concept in the Bria called midah keneged midah. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to us and relates to us is according to the way we react and relate to other people. Says the Gemara, says the Baskel, you have to know, he is a captain, he's got his way, everything's the way it should be, rights and wrongs. So, rights and wrongs, he stood there, he said 24 brachas, he didn't have enough schusim for me to bring rain. Rabbi Kiva got up there, it doesn't mean he had more schusim, Rabbi Eliezer. What it means is, he's a Mavam Adosov, Zodakuch Baruch, Mavam Adosov, Mitak Negamid, I have to be Mavam Adosov. That's the way it works. A person's mavam medoso. So the Gemara Kodesh Baruch Hu is meichel shov. His wife says avirus because the concept is you turn your cheek, you look the other way, and you swallow. Kodesh Baruch Hu has to do the same. It's not about rights. That's pshat in the medrash. That's pshat in our medrash here. The others had susim, phenomenal susim which we draw on every single day. But Rochel had something which we don't find by the others. Rochel had a life changing turn the cheek. She gave up everything. Everything. And in fact, to such an extent, I don't know if you noticed, last week there's a political posuk. The posuk says that Reuven brought the Dudoim and he gave them to Leah. And Rachel went to Leah and she asked her sister, "Can I have these Dudoim? I don't have children, I'll apply the Dudoim." And Leah turns around and says, "A chutzpah! Not only did you take my husband, now you want to take my Dudoim?" To such an extent, Rachel says, "You know, okay, let me pay for it. How will I pay for it? I'll give up my sus to one night tonight with Yaakov, and you have give me the Dudoim, you have that sus." And that's the transaction that happened. And because of that, from that night, Leah had Yisrocha. That's what Leah got. That's what she had to pay. She had to beg and pay for these Dodoim, because she was accused of the Ha'ozah, that she had stolen Yaakov. She had stolen Yaakov? Let's rewind a little bit here. Remind us a little bit of the history. What actually happened? How did Leah get to marry Yaakov in the first place? Because Rachel gave up everything for Leah to marry Yaakov. She stole Yaakov? So Leah at the time is saying that now the Rachel was a wife, the Rachel was the preferred wife, and that was a thorn in the side of Leah the whole time. Finally, when she has Levi, she said, why did she call him Levi? Because now I've got three children, I can only hold two, I've only got two hands. Yaakov's going to have to be my lover, he's going to have to come with me, he's going to have to hold one of the children. But Leah is a constant trying to win more time with Yaakov as opposed to the time he's spending with Rachel. But how could she say such a chutzpah? Mepharshim say, you know how she says such a chutzpah? Because when Rachel gave over the simonim, she didn't say, alright, take my simonim, no, my life's over. She did it in such a way that Leah thought that was right. Kilu, by the way, I meant to give you this simonim. Here's the simonim which you need to have. That's, you know, now Kilu, you don't even have to feel that you owe me a thing. As kedikach, such a muhudadika, turning the other cheek, that not only did she give up everything, she did it in a way that the person who she was doing it for didn't even chap. Leah didn't even chap. That schus was a schus which moved the lamas. Kachvorchus nisgalgal olav rachim. Nisgalgal meaning he rolled off the kisei adin. I can't sit on the Kisazin. You're coming to me with the schus of Marva Medoisov. That means I turn the other cheek, I look the other way, I don't think about rights. I don't stick to my rights. Niskargal Rachman, but you have to roll on to Rachman, have Rachmanos and Kalisun. There was an amazing story in Eretz Yisrael last year where a father of a kala booked a hall to make a chasna. And he ordered the catering, he ordered the food and everything else, everything that was organized the way it should be. And it came to the day of the chasna, and it was a failure. Mamish a failure. The food was completely cold, some of the food was bad, the waiters were serving main course to one table, the other table, they hadn't cleared their hors d'oeuvre. Mamish, a failure on a grand scale. Atzkadekach, everyone was talking about it. And the next day, when the father of the kala walked into the caterer to pay, so the caterer, first of all, was expecting a major blow up here, and what's he going to pay Bechlal, and what kind of fuss? And everyone there, that's the man from the chasna last night. Right? Let's stick around. So he walks in there, and he takes out from his pocket an envelope, and he says, here is the money which we agreed for the chasna. He puts it on the table, and he says, thank you very much. He turns around, and he walks out of the room. Everyone was shocked. A bit disappointed, probably. What's going on? What's going on? Are you talking? You're paying thousands and thousands of shkolim. For what? For what? For being mavazah you in front of your guests? I mean, people have to go out and take out someone else because they're starving, hungry. What's going on? So one of his family members asked him, what's going on here? So I'll tell you what's going on. My grandfather lived in the shtetl. My grandfather lived in the shtetl before the war. And he supported his family through eggs. He had 40 chickens which he kept in his little chicken coop, wherever it was, and he, every day they laid eggs, and every day he sold these eggs, and with that he supported his family. Bahiyayoim, one day, he comes in to his chicken coop in the morning, and from the 40 chickens that he had the night before, there's 30 remaining. Someone has stolen a quarter of his chickens. Unbelievable. Imagine a person loses a quarter of their panos in one go. Right? He looks around, he asks, no one has any idea. Sure, he carries on. What can he do? Carries on. A week or two later, the same thing happens again. Another 10 chickens. He's left with half the chickens he had to start off with. Mamish, unbelievable. Struggling to put bread on the table. He decides he's going to wait there. He's going to wait every night by these chickens. He hides and he waits. And a few nights later, sure enough, he sees someone coming to his chicken coop. And as they get closer, the light reflects on him, and he sees it's his neighbor who is his chavrusa. His chavrusa who he learns with, who knows full well what it means to be stealing these chickens, who's heard him crash and cry and helped him look around and ask around everybody to try and find out who could have done such a gefelech avla. This chavrusa is the ganav who's taking his chickens. And he sees this chavrusa go up to the coop and take another 10 chickens. And he holds himself back and doesn't do a thing. The next morning he wakes up his children and he tells them who the ganav is. And he says, we're leaving. They said, Mishida, you know the ganav is. No, I'm not making a fuss. We're leaving. I'm selling my chickens. We're getting on a boat and we're going to America. We're going to start a new life. I can't stay here anymore. I've got 10 chickens. I can't live here with the shocker next to me, I'm going to be able to prove it, not prove it. I'm not interested in getting involved in the machlekas. We'd go. He buys tickets to his family to America, he puts them on a boat, he hasn't got a penny with him. Mama, she's paid for tickets to America, they get on the boat. So they're on this boat for a number of weeks with no correspondence with the outside world. By the time they get to America, they discover the Second World War has broken out, and not many people survived from that shtekel bechlal. Said the enikel, I'm here today because my grandfather turned the cheek. He turned his cheek. You know what? If you put in context of the Shir, the Gemara, which we've been saying, we have no idea. I certainly have no idea why the Churban happened and the way it happened, why we lost millions and millions of Achinu Bnei Yisrael and Noshim B'Tav. Right? But one thing we do know is there was a Gefelech HaGezerah which took people en masse in one swoop. And this person, had he been there, we have no idea whether he would have had the schus, one of the lucky few who escaped. But The Gemara says, and we see time and time again through Chazal, a person is turns the other cheek, a person's mava madosav, it's not about rights anymore. It's not about, is he meant to be in that gezira? Mava madosav means it's a whole different book. It's a whole different mahalach. A kachorah has to be megalgal of rachim. Zop the enikul. My Zayda was only alive because he turned the cheek. Does he have a right to make a fast? Of course he has a right. The person was a ganav, he was a mechutzav, but he decided, I'm not getting involved. It's not about rights, that's not the question. He would have been fully within his rights. But he turned his cheek, and because he turned his cheek, I'm here today. Would I have a right to make a fast with this keter? Of course I've got a right. But if that's how I got to be here today, I'm not going to be mavazel my grandfather, I'm going to follow in his mahalach. May we learn this limud, may we learn the limud of Rochel Imenu, may we pass it on to our spouses, to our children, teach them the chashivas. It's not about rights and wrongs, by the goyim, if a person gives you a vicious comment and you don't answer back with a vicious comment, it's seen as a sign of weakness. By us, it's a sign of gevurah. Shkir, shalom.